I'm so grateful the Blackwood showed up to help me preach today, because this is a tough message. It's really not. Triumphant entry is one of the kickoffs to Holy Week. We call it Palm Sunday, right? That's why we got the sticks, right? You know that there's some special things about Palm Sunday, right? That was actually a question. Holy cow. In May of, you know, can I just tell you, you guys really hampered, you like handcuffed me, man. I am like stuck. There's like this wall that stops me from preaching all the way up. No, you're not. You made fun of my shoes. In May of 1940, an amazing thing happened. It was an amazing event. It was at the start of World War II, and the British troops and the French troops, man, they had been encircled by the Germans, and they had been pushed back to the place on the French coast called Dunkirk. Have you heard of this joint before? Dunkirk was do or die for the Allied troops, man. And in that moment, for whatever reason, I believe it was a God-ordained thing, the Nazis paused for 3 days. And in that 3 days, a call went out all across Great Britain, and over 860 vessels responded to sail across the English Channel and evacuate the troops. Just in itself, that's an amazing story. But it's far greater than that. Of those 860 vessels, over 400 of them were privately owned. Speedboats, yachts, fishing vessels, whatever could be manned up, sailed across the English Channel to save the forces. There was a giant old paddle wheel boat, made 3 trips and rescued 7,000 men. The smallest was the Tamzine, which was nothing more than a 15-foot John boat. That's incredible just in itself, right? You would think that when all this, that would be an amazing story. But it wasn't. It goes on. Out of those 400 vessels, a lot of them, you know, the Royal Navy had came down and they had really basically taken these private vessels and they had put their own Navy people in charge of them. And then suddenly, all of a sudden, they had more boats than they had men. And so regular folks like you and me made the commitment to sail and rescue the soldiers. So that's half of the boats. The other half of the boats came from an organization called the Royal Lifeboat Association. These guys had a sole purpose. And keep in mind, they are all volunteers. They were founded on the principle that they would drop everything to save anyone, anytime, anywhere at sea, even risking their own lives. Today we talk about Palm Sunday, the day that Jesus rode in, knowing what awaited him 5 days later. He came into this time to save us, to save others, to risk his own life. He came to save those who society had rejected, to save those of us who had rejected God. He came to save those who believe, those who don't believe, and those who have backslid in their belief. He came to save anyone and everyone that would listen. And so today, as we talk about the triumphant entry, I want us to remember that this starts the beginning of Holy Week. And so as we go to the Lord in prayer, we're going to read from John chapter 12 today. What's cool about this story is it's in all four Gospels. But this one is kind of unique because it doesn't place as much emphasis on the story of Lazarus that happens before. But Lazarus is part of this whole story. You would think that when he raised Lazarus from the dead, that would be like the end. But it wasn't. So let's go to Lord Prayer, and then we're going to read from John chapter 12. By the way, last week we tried putting the QR code on the screen. For some it worked, some not so much. So look what we did. It's on the back of your program this week. So all of you don't have to hold your phones up and point them at me because I know I'm beautiful. I know I'm handsome. And I know my shoes are blue. Father God, Lord, we come before you today thanking you. Thanking you, Lord, for the Son that you sent into this world to save us. The Son who preached truth. The Son who was rejected. Lord, we thank you for the Son who rode humbly on a donkey to show his meekness. And Lord, we thank you for those who have joined us today and those who are with us online. God, we just are grateful that everybody's here, Lord, to hear your truth proclaimed. So God, we ask that all the things that we came in today, Lord, that we just set them aside for just a brief moment, God, so that we can hear the truth of your word. That, Lord, if we have anything on our hearts, Lord, we just ask, and we know that you're faithful to forgive, and Lord, release us from anything that's holding us back so that we may be filled with your spirit to receive what you have for us today. So, God, we thank you for the shed blood of Christ. We thank you for the words that you've given us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's open this up and see what we can find out from John chapter 12 today. It's called, and you guys know where John is, right? If you like, it's like right here. Can you not see where I'm at? It's on this page. So if you'll just turn to this page, you'll be okay. John chapter 12, the triumphant entry. Verse 12, it says, the next day the large crowd had come to the feast and heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it just as it was written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was they had heard that he had done this sign. And so the Pharisees looked at one another and said, you see that this is, we're gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. Holy cow. Jesus' friend Lazarus. You remember this story? He was a guy who got really sick. And Jesus says, nah, let's wait. He'll be all right. Let's just wait. And he said, oh, no, he's dead. And Jesus said, well, he ain't dead enough. So he got a hold of the misunderstanders or the doubters, and they went back and they raised Lazarus from the dead. That's where the movie Dead Man Walking came from. You want to hand me a pen and I'll scratch this one out. Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, and word had traveled faster than gossip in a Baptist church. That's better. So the passage today is not just about Jesus riding on the back of a donkey. It's about him fulfilling purpose. Remember, we're in this series where we're calling four words from the cross. We did justice and freedom. Today we're doing purpose. Next week, Easter Sunday, we'll be talking about forgiveness. So as we open our passage, let's see how Jesus shows us who he is. And then let's look again and see how we really, just like the disciples, sometimes we struggle to understand everything that there is. And then finally, I'm going to show you how Jesus is always demonstrating who he is to us, how sometimes he's just hiding in plain sight. Let's start with verse 12. Jesus shows us who he is. It says, the next day, the great crowd that had come from the feast heard Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And they said, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found the young donkey, sat upon it, just as it was written. Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. I'd like you guys to just kind of park on this for a minute. You see, Jesus was entering the last week of his life, and think about this. Think about this. This is the last week of his ministry. Up to this point, he had turned water into wine. He had healed the paralyzed. He had healed a man with a withered hand. He had healed Peter's sick mother, fed over 9,000 people, had cast out demons, calmed storms, and even walked on water. And none of that mattered because it had to have been Lazarus being raised from the dead that was going to get everybody to come to Jerusalem that day. It shows you how fickle miracles can be in our lives, right? Hey, Jesus, I know you did all this stuff for me, but what have you done for me lately, right? Isn't that the way that we kind of cast things sometimes? Because he said, blessed is thee who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna. 27 times Jesus had identified himself. He had told people who he was in the scriptures. He had called himself the Son of Man. 27 times. St. Augustine said this. He said, Christ Jesus, the Son of God, is God and man. Can we agree with that? You guys buying that? He said, God before all worlds, this is St. Augustine again, he said, God before all worlds, man in our world, but since he is the only Son of God by nature and not grace, so he became the Son of Man that he might be full of grace as well. Jesus is the Son of Man. He is the Son of God. More importantly, Jesus represents what God had hoped mankind would be. This is what the Bible tells us in John 1:14. The Word became human and he made his home among us, and he was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, glory of the Father's one and only Son. The Bible tells us that all fullness of divinity in God lives in bodily form. That's why the Son of Man can forgive sins. That's why he's the Lord of the Sabbath. That's why he's our banner, our healer, and our sustainer. He came to save lives. He came to raise us from the dead. One day he will stand at the throne and he will execute judgment. And we will have to stand before him. Because he is going to stand up. This is what he says in Matthew. He says, he's going to stand before us and he's going to say, I say to all of you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and the coming on the clouds of heaven. That's what he told us. It's happening. There are people today who will still say that he was nothing more than a good man. Or a good teacher. Or they'll proclaim him even to be a great prophet. But everything Jesus did, everything Jesus said, was to tell people who he was. Because he was incredibly intentional about it. It wasn't all just about, everything Jesus did was about fulfilling prophecy, to show people. He says he was doing these things so everyone would know he was the Son of God. And yet he still wants us and everyone else to know who he really is. A humble servant who would do nothing more than ride in on a humble donkey. So let it not be lost on us how Jesus shows it who he truly is, the Son of the Most High, the one and only Son of God. But yet, as plain as it was to all those people that day, they still didn't get it. They still didn't get it. Even the disciples said that, he said they still had the struggle to understand. He says that at first his disciples did not understand all this. It was only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Man, this ain't the first time that these guys had a hard time understanding things, is it? Go back up to the beginning of Mark. He says they were talking about the things that Jesus was going to have to go through, and the disciples like, oh. They said this in Mark. He says, they did not understand the saying, and they were even afraid to ask him about it. They were afraid to ask him about it. You guys married? How many of you are married? Raise your hand. Married folks. How many of you think that your husband can't hear you sometimes? Okay, hold on. Let's recheck this. That was a larger response than I'd hoped for. I'm going to get in trouble. How many of you know that your husband hears you, but he does claims that he don't understand? Because see, that's me. That's truly me. My wife can sit there and look at me and talk to me, and I have no idea what she's saying sometimes. I had a buddy of mine in South Carolina. He actually was one of the people that really befriended me and my wife when we first got there, right? You remember? I kid you not. And I have a little bit of a southern accent. These guys are from Tennessee. They got even more of an accent, but they cheat. But I know that this guy used to come into my office and he would talk to me, but before he did, he would take a handful of marbles and put them in his mouth. Because he sounded like Gabby Johnson. I'm like, what? No. Yes, Frank. Reminded me of the three old cats who were walking along a park one day. One of them looked back. He says, "Windy, ain't it?" The other second guy looked at him. He says, "No, you old coot, it's Thursday." The third guy chimed in. He goes, "Yes, I am. Let's go get a Coke." I'm going to have to slow down when I tell these things. So many times, I think we're afraid to engage in that because we don't want to appear like we don't hear, we don't understand, or we certainly don't want to feel stupid. I wonder sometimes, is it just me? Before you answer that, I still got a whole thing left to preach. But I wonder sometimes, am I just like these disciples who has a hard time understanding what Jesus is trying to get through to me? I feel like I've got my act together, but I know there's times that I just can't wrap my head around what God's will is for me or what Jesus is trying to tell me. And so what I have learned about this over the course of my life, and I think most of you will agree with me on this, that our understanding, our ability to understand what God is trying to communicate us is directly proportional to the closeness of our relationship with him. Amen? I mean, here's the thing. We can all sit around and we can read our Bibles and we do that and these words and we've heard them and we've heard them preached and we've heard them sung in songs. And yet it's not till we get into a special place and a special frame of mind that the Holy Spirit says, now you're ready to receive what I have to give you. It doesn't happen in this. It happens in our quiet time when we really are feeling close to God, and all of a sudden he says, here's that thing I wanted to show you, but you were too deaf all this time. Now you're ready. John 14:26. He says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, with whom the Father sends to in my name, he says that he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance. Listen to what he says there. Let's read that again. Bring you to remembrance of all that I have said to you. God's word, the Holy Spirit, will bring remembrance to all that he has said to us. I mean, Jesus rode down the streets. He had just healed Lazarus. And everybody's like, yay, Jesus. We're on Team Jesus. We rode the Jesus bandwagon into town so we could put blankets and everything on the ground. And they're all chanting, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And in a few days later, they're going to be crucified, crucified, crucified. He rode down that town, down that street, knowing full well that he was going to be beaten and he was going to be rejected and he was going to be crucified. And yet he knew that his whole purpose was to be lifted up for every one of them who would be chanting against him in just a few days. But more importantly, I want you to understand that he didn't just ride down that street for them. He rode down that street for us. Rode down that street for us. He rode down that street so that we could receive grace. Lastly, I want to talk to you about how the crowd was with him even when he saw Lazarus, but they still didn't get it. And here's the Son of God hiding in plain sight. He says this, the crowd that was with him when he was called Lazarus from the tomb and raised continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, see, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. They cried out, Hosanna. They cried out, Hosanna, Son of David. Translated, that means save us, because you are the deliverer. And yet they only believed him as long as they had the miracles. He fed 5,000 people, and they all like clamored over him. He rose to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and 4,000 of them walk away. Why? Because the handouts had stopped. The free bread was gone. Then who is this Messiah? Who is this Messiah to us? I'm going to get harsher and say, is he the only person that we cry out for when we need winning lottery numbers? Huh? Is he the one who calls to us and says, Lord, I'm about to pick a fight. Will you just make sure I win? Tell me, please. That the Son of God who rode down the streets for our deliverance is much, much more than an errand boy who we ask to make our life easier or more comfortable or to satisfy our needs. I mean, shouldn't our expectations for the omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient creator of the universe be much more? Shouldn't it be our desire for us to serve him and not for him to serve us? Let's go back to the Old Testament here. It says, the Lord your God is in your midst. This is Zephaniah 3:17-19. He says, the Lord God is in your midst. A mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. Just that right there. Listen to that. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. He says, I will gather those of you who mourn so that you will no longer suffer. And I will deal with all of your oppressors. And I will save the lame. And I will gather the outcast. And I will change their shame into praise. Jesus' coming was a sign. It was a sign of the promise that he will share this gift of healing and life with all people. Brothers and sisters, my family, our hope should be more. Our hope should be much more than how much money we'll make, how successful we will be, who we will marry, and how many toys we will own. No, our hope should be put in the humble servant who came riding in on the back of a young colt. The same God who saved his people from starvation by sending them manna from heaven is the same God who walked on the water to save his disciples by calming the seas. He is the same God who brought water from the rock. Amen. He is the same God who said, if you drink from this well, you will never thirst again. That's who we're talking about here. So let me ask you a question. Do you feel it? Do you feel it? Do you feel that right now you're in the presence of the Lord? Shouldn't we feel right now that we're in the presence of God, that God is in our midst, that he is the mighty one to save? Amen? I'm going to start winding this up. Mark, you guys want to come up and get ready for the invitation? He says, this is Holy Week. It's a time for us to reflect all the things that Jesus went through. It's the time that he came to give his life as a ransom for many. As we wind up our sermon, and Mark and them prepare to give us our time of response, I want to share with you something it's just one of my favorite passages. And it comes right after this. And it comes in John chapter 12. Got me all flustered, man. Stop staring. You're only making it worse. Right after this, it says this. It says, now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. And so they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and they asked him, Sir, we desire to see Jesus. Let that sink in. Sir, we desire to see Jesus. And Philip went and told Andrew, and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus says, the hour has come for him to be glorified. As we reach this time in our service, you know what glorifies Jesus? Us giving our hearts to him. Us repenting of our sins and turning our life over to Christ and surrendering to him, that's what glorifies God. So we're going to open up this altar. Mark and them are going to come up and lead us in a time of response, and then they've got another song or two to do for us.